Well, it's Thursday, January 14th. It's been a little while since I did an update. Been kind of swamped with all the new variant sequences that have been coming out. The map is getting pretty full. It's getting to almost too many to count in some of these countries. But anyway, I'm going to kind of focus on the new variant out of Brazil with a little bit of updated information. It's a little bit of a complicated story, but it's not that complicated. This new variant was initially identified in a family that had gone from Brazil to Japan, and they were in airport quarantine near Tokyo, and they ended up testing positive. And then further analysis showed that it was a new variant, that it had some of the same features as the UK variant, which is B.1.1.7, and it also had some features that was in the South African variant, which is also called 501 V2, as in version 2 of a variant with a mutation at position 501. And it really looked a lot like the 501 that V2. It had three changes in the receptor binding domain, and the three positions were the same three positions as 501 dot V2. It had a position 417, where the K was actually changed to a T instead of an N. It also had E484K, which is the change that seems to be involved in immunological escape, and it had N501Y, which is what's in common to all of these variants that seems to lead to enhanced binding to the receptor that leads to higher viral loads. And when I looked at it, I thought it looked an awful lot like the variant out of South Africa, because the key receptor binding domain positions were identical. And as far as the South African variant, it had three amino acids deleted at position 242, 243, and 244. And this new variant didn't have any deletions in the spike gene, but it did have a series of point mutations in this same area, which is called NTD for N-terminal domain. And the UK variant also has three deletions in the same area. They are at position 69, 70, and 145. Anyway, it really looked like that it had just kind of recombined and picked up the receptor binding domain with another virus that had these series of mutations that kind of functionally probably did the same thing as the deletions, which also seem to be involved with immunological escape. The one thing that was unusual was that the 417, the K changed to T. And a search of the GSAD database, which has over 350,000 SARS-CoV-2 sequences, and there were only four that had the K 417T, and those were the four that were identified in the family that arrived in Japan. So there were no other sequences with that particular change. All the other ones were, you know, K417N instead of a T. But then the new development was that I think it was five or six sequences came out of Brazil, and they were virtually identical to the ones that were in Japan. Of course, the Japan ones, you know, were from a family in Brazil, so that wasn't that surprising. And it turns out that it's in the it's in northern Brazil in the Amazonas. There's a paper that came out that gave a little bit of a background, because the one thing that was missing from the initial results was what effect these mutations had on the behavior of the virus, that the other variants that have captured a lot of attention was their ability to quickly become the dominant species in a given area and kind of outcompete the existing viruses. And as it turns out, there was a town, well, I think it's a fairly large city, Mangus, so it's something like that. They had a increase in cases in December, and then a group in Brazil did some sampling, and that's where they found this variant. And it had got up to a level where about half of all the sequences that came from this city were this particular variant. So it was definitely taking over. It wasn't really present earlier in the year. It seemed to take off in December. And so if I kind of fit that criteria for being able to outcompete other viruses. And then as far as the name, the naming of it, it was, it had some positions in common with the virus that was circulating in the area that actually also had the E484K, which seems to be fairly common in Brazil, or at least certain areas of Brazil. And the common one was B.1.1.28. And they couldn't really add another number to that, because the rules are that once you've got three sets of numbers, you give it a new designation. And its new designation is P.1. So that's its new number, is P.1. And so far, the public sequences are limited to these five or six that are in Brazil, and the four that are at the airport outside of Tokyo. And so this variant is concerning, because it's got E484K, and that is likely to limit the ability of the vaccine to prevent infection by this particular version. The same thing applies to the South African one. So now there are two different variants that are circulating. There are more reports of the South African one. That's fairly widespread in Europe, but it's also showed up in Australia and Japan, and I think South Korea. In North America, there is one in Alberta, Canada. And so these are concerning, because it's not clear how well the vaccine will work. There's been some testing of different receptor binding domain changes, And unfortunately, when they reported this one, they had not tested yet. It was, quote unquote, next on the list. And there are other papers that suggest this will be a problem. And we'll just wait and see. I think the spread of the variants has led, at least in the U.S., for the change in who is eligible. And now it's been lowered down to anyone 65 and over, which has led to a very dramatic increase in demand. And most states are running out of vaccine now and waiting for new shipments. So these will probably go very quickly. There are reports of long lines, like Florida lowered it. And I think that's just very, very widespread. There's a lot of people that would be eligible for the vaccine. There's a lot of concern because the numbers keep on going up in the U.S. The number of deaths were an all-time high yesterday. It was about over 4,000 deaths. And today, all the numbers aren't in, but it's going to be pretty close to 4,000. And these numbers are pretty much as predicted. The prediction was that there was a list of the top 10 days of death, essentially, in the U.S. And that list kind of came out when the number got to 3,000 deaths in a day in the U.S. And then at the time, there were like four or five other events that were in the top 10, and it included a hurricane in Galveston that had 8,000 deaths. And then it was I think the Battle of Antietam, which had something like 3,700. And then there was Gettysburg, and then there was 9/11, and there was the San Francisco earthquake and Pearl Harbor. And all the other ones in the top 10 were days in December that made the list because of the number of COVID deaths. And the prediction was that most of these other events would fall off the list. And the only ones that would really be on the list would be the top two. And then in January, even the Antietam 3,700 would fall off the list because there would be nine days in January that would have more than 3,700. And that is a virtual certainty. Last week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday all had about 4,000. Yesterday was over 4,000. Today's 4,000. So that's already five. And generally, the way it works is the top days of the week are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And so there'll be two more this week and next week. Out of the top 10, nine of them will be days in January. And unfortunately, those days will probably be erased by days in February because the vaccine rollout's kind of slow, and the people that are going to die this month and next month pretty much have already been infected. So the vaccine isn't really going to do them. It's not going to affect those deaths at all. And the hospitals are getting overrun. So the death rate's almost going to go up just because of a lack of ICU beds and staff that can man the equipment. Anyway, that's where things stand right now. I'll be doing a few more updates, but that's it on the latest variant.